Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Open Doors podcast. I'm Rachel Lozano, and today I have with me Matt Lozano, the Director of Training and Leadership Development here at Heart of the Father Ministries. Matt is also my brother-in-law and friend. Matt is my go-to when I need to discuss all the world's problems or deep theological questions, because I know he has already taken the time to think about and pray about these things himself. He is wise, a wonderful teacher, and has a goofy sense of humor that always makes me laugh. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Rach. Love that introduction.
Good.
Sums me up pretty well.
Good. I know. I'm like, sometimes you might come across like a little bit serious, but because you have a lot to share, but I don't want ever people to miss out on how silly you can be.
Once you hang out with me long enough, yeah. It will come out eventually.
So today we are going to talk about freedom in Christ. And freedom is a word that we use a lot around here at Heart of the Father. And it may seem like kind of a simple word, you know, it's a word we use in everyday language. A lot of people might think they know what it means, what freedom means. But it actually holds a lot of depth. So let's start with that basic question. How would you define freedom?
So yeah, there's a couple of different definitions of freedom that we could look at. For most modern people, they would say that freedom is the ability to make a choice. So we might call that the freedom from tyranny. You know, as long as no one's telling me what to do, then I'm free. The problem with that view is It's kind of neutral. I mean, all choices are equally valuable, and we know that's not really true. You know, some choices lead us into bondage, and some choices bring us joy. And so, going further back, you can find, you know, Thomas Aquinas' definition is freedom is the ability to know and to choose the good. So you perceive what's good, and you choose it. So that's a little bit deeper understanding of knowing that there's good and choosing it, that's actual freedom. But the definition that we work from comes from John 8. And John 8:34, Jesus said, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." So at the root of our choices and at the root of knowing and choosing the good, there's the ultimate reality of knowing that you belong, that you're loved, and that you can experience a relationship with God where he's your father. That's what Jesus meant. To be truly free is to be in this relationship where you know that God is good and you're making choices within the context of that relationship. And so freedom, we refer to it as life in the Son. It's united to Jesus. He's redeeming our humanity. And it's from that perspective that we can actually see what is good and make those choices. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God." That's our true identity. And when we live from that identity, we're free.
That's such a great definition. And when I hear that, I think, you know, we're saying freedom in Christ, but really you could say there is no freedom without Christ. The only real freedom can be found in Jesus and what he offers. So that's a beautiful definition. So freedom sounds like this amazing gift and that Jesus, the Lord, wants us to have it. So why is it so hard for us? Why do we need help in finding and taking hold of that freedom?
Yeah, in a word, it's really the power of sin. As Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. The nature of sin is slavery. So If you go back to the garden and you look at Adam and Eve, before they ever sinned, the enemy came to them and deceived them. God's not really good. God can't be trusted. God doesn't want good things for you. And it's under the influence of that deception that they reached out and they sinned. They said, I have to provide for myself. I have to do this. I need this for myself. And they acted in sin. And as soon as they did, the power of sin came into their lives, and that deception became almost like the lens by which they see life. So when God comes after them and says, where are you, Adam? They hide from God. They hide in shame. They hide in fear. Now, God is perfect love. Who hides from love? You know, if you knew that someone was coming and had nothing but the best intentions for you and loved you purely, who would run from that? Only someone who's been deceived. So at the heart of spiritual bondage is deception. We can no longer, you know, good looks evil and evil looks good. And so we make decisions under the influence of that deception. And that's really where the enemy's power in our lives comes from. And so we find ourselves in bondage. We find ourselves under the influence of deceptions. We find ourselves stuck in habitual sin. And it's really rooted in the influence of another kingdom, not the kingdom of our Lord, but the kingdom of darkness. If I could, I'd like to tell a little bit of my story.
Sure. We'd love to hear it.
So when I was younger, I was a third of four boys, and I experienced a lot of conflict in my family. And as a result, I felt very misunderstood. I felt like I didn't belong. And that became my perspective on life. It became the deception that I saw everything else through. So I expected people to misunderstand me. I expected them to reject me. I expected them to accuse me. And so I developed sinful patterns to try and overcome this deception or live through that deception. No one will ever understand me. And so things like self-justification and arguing and sometimes exaggerating the truth, all that stuff in my life was a way of trying to cope with that lie. So it took me years as a disciple of Jesus, walking in relationship with him, and really the work of the Holy Spirit to unveil my area of bondage, this lie that no one could understand me. And once I saw it for what it was, and I was able to renounce it and really repent for the ways that I had responded in sin towards that, I really gained a new level of freedom in my walk with Jesus and in my relationships, because I began to see the world as it is, not under the influence of this deception. And I could also enter into the reality of the Father's love, that God understood me. He knew me, he loved me, and he understood me. And that was so, so healing for me, for someone who had felt misunderstood. Mm-hmm. So that's just an example of the bondages that we find ourselves into and the way in which the Holy Spirit sets us free.
Yep. And it makes me think about my own story, which I shared a few podcasts ago, and how I had been a Christian for a number of years, you know, met the Lord in high school, all through college, young adult, and still was stuck, you know, hadn't discovered that I could be free in that deeper way and uncovering that lie like you were able to. And realized later, once I encountered Unbound, that there was this big piece of my Christian walk that I was missing out on. And a lot of times we talk about freedom, and it's hard to talk about freedom without talking about that piece of deliverance, right? And I think I sometimes shy away from that word. Sometimes it can have some negative connotations, but it's really an amazing word, an amazing piece of our walk with the Lord and our Christian life. So can you tell me a little bit about what is deliverance?
So deliverance and conversion really go hand in hand. And I think what you pointed out in your story was like, a lot of times we think of conversion as a one-time experience. It's something where we encounter the Lord and our lives are changed. Most of us have some sort of experience of that. But conversion is actually a lifelong experience, and we get to encounter the Lord in new ways as we walk with him. And there are areas of our life that he wants to set us free in that maybe we weren't aware of. So deliverance is what happened to you when you believed and when you were baptized. In Colossians 1:13, it says, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the beloved Son. So deliverance is about taking hold of the full freedom that Jesus won for you on the cross. So it's present to us in his kingdom, but we can go deeper. And a lot of people, you know, they have negative connotations about the word. They think of exorcism, but deliverance is really at the heart of the scriptures. It was the Israelites who were set free when they were in Egypt. God delivered them with his power and his might, and he set them free so that they could worship him without fear. And that's the atmosphere that Jesus grew up in. Jesus understood that that was his story. And as Christians, that really is our identity. We were once under the power of sin, and we've been set free by the Lord. So deliverance is a wonderful word. It's part of our reality, and it's a growing reality that we can take part of.
Yeah. So that's so good to hear what deliverance is. And you mentioned a little bit what deliverance isn't. It's not exorcism. And there's a number of things that people might think deliverance is, and it is not. So can you tell me some of the misconceptions about deliverance and what is it not?
So let me just simplify it by saying deliverance is about getting free from the influence of evil spirits. So it's getting rid of the kingdom of darkness in our lives and embracing the kingdom of God. And as I mentioned, it's a lifelong process. What deliverance is it's not exorcism. Exorcism is a rite provided by the church to help people who are determined to be possessed. And it's a rite and it's a ritual. And deliverance is not just about spirits leaving a person so much as it's the transfer from one kingdom to another. And it should be always seen in the broader context of evangelization, of winning someone over to Jesus. And there's really a difference between confrontational and non-confrontational deliverance. Unbound is what we call non-confrontational deliverance, which means we do nothing to provoke or confront, antagonize evil spirits. Our focus is on the person, helping them to close the doors that they've opened to the enemy so that they can say yes to the kingdom of God. The other thing I want to point out is that deliverance is not about the devil. Sometimes we make the devil our focus in deliverance ministry. I would say this, deliverance is no more about the devil than the Exodus was about Pharaoh. Many people think of deliverance as something that's frightening. In Unbound, what we've learned is that the important thing is not so much the devil himself, but his strategies. And in Ephesians 6, St. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Take your stand against the devil's schemes or tactics. So if we can focus on how the enemy influenced us, close the doors using the five keys in Unbound, then the devil himself becomes rather irrelevant because Jesus himself has defeated the devil. He's the one that's already won the victory. We can appropriate that victory using the five keys. Finally, deliverance is not just for the deeply afflicted. Mm. We think of deliverance for those who might experience manifestations or great evil or who have gotten involved in the occult. But we're teaching a simple and safe approach that can apply to anybody, and we want to empower people to embrace greater freedom. It's not just for the big slaveries. It's for those small slaveries in your life where you can't overcome that habitual sin or you're stuck in patterns of relationships with others. God wants to bring his freedom to those areas too. So it's simply the gospel applied to a person's life. If we can think of it that way, we can have a more healthy approach to deliverance.
I like that. It's so simple and straightforward, not scary, and it is for everybody. That's something I always think about, that it really is a part of my everyday life when I think about how I use Unbound or in deliverance, that I can renounce those thoughts or anything that comes against me and tell it to go because it doesn't have any power. And that's such a a beautiful way that you express that. And it makes me, I like how you're talking about how Jesus has already won, that the devil only has the power that we give to him. It's going back to what you were talking before, that it's more, how have we been deceived instead of what's the devil doing? He's so powerful. It's how have we been deceived and so person focused. And that's really, that's awesome.
Rach, it's really good you mentioned, you know, exercising our authority as children of God. If you look back at the garden, if you read the Genesis account, the enemy was very intimidating to Adam and Eve. And instead of standing up for what they knew to be true, they gave in to his lies and his deceptions. But if you look at Jesus in the garden, you know, and or in the desert, when he's tempted, when he's weak, when he's experiencing great hunger and weakness, he stands on God's word. He stands on the truth, the knowledge of who he is. And that's ultimately by the Holy Spirit who we're called to be. And so using the five keys can help us to be more like Christ. And that does involve taking our stand against the devil's schemes, not in a passive way, but proactively as children of God, carrying his authority and resisting his lies.
So it sounds like what you're saying to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Adam and Eve were just seeing what was right in front of them. And at that time, it was the enemy, and they forgot who they really were and that bigger picture. And I know personally, I can, my focus can get really narrow when I'm not focusing on the Lord, and I can only see what's right in front of me, only see this world, the next thing that needs to be done. Can you tell me a little bit how Unbound takes us out of that narrowness and just being able to focus what's right in front of us?
Sure. So we live in a world that is influenced by sin and the power of sin. And so we experienced trauma and hurt and experiences that shape our memories. And those memories often form a story. And by that story, we gain our sense of identity, who we are, how we relate to the world. And all those memories are part of a small story, and we can really get stuck in that small story. You know, so for me, no one will understand me. That could be something different for you. No one will ever love me. I'll never succeed. Who I am is never good enough. You know, those things can form our identity and really hinder us as a child of God. But those memories and those experiences are just a smaller story that are actually surrounded by a bigger story. And that bigger story has been revealed in Jesus Christ. When the Father sent his Son to give his life for you, it offered us an unveiling, an opening of the door so we could see the Father's heart for what it truly is, and we could enter into the greater reality. You are always loved. You are always known. You are always desired. And we can break out of the limitations of the small story. Every hurt, every rejection, every lie, every sin, and see it as being redeemed. And then we can enter into that reality that the Spirit allows us to do, because the Spirit in us cries out, Abba, my Father. We can relate to God as our Father and receive his love and his care. So the work of the enemy has always been to try to get you stuck, to get you stuck within that small story and to live within it. And Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. How did he do it? By revealing the love of God. When we see Jesus on the cross, we can see the full extent of the Father's love for us. And when we receive it, when we receive his love, we receive his kingdom and his power to transform us, not just in an esoteric way, but actually in the way that we think and the way we relate to life. Some people have said that the greatest lie of the devil is that God's, that he doesn't exist. Mm. But I would say the greatest lie of the devil is that God is not a good father and he can't be trusted. And Jesus came to destroy that work. So that work is going deeper in us, and through Unbound, we can share that with other people because that's our mission.
And what an amazing mission it is. Even here, you know, I've been part of Heart of the Father for a long time, but even hearing you tell it again just gives me that new enthusiasm and excitement. Like, this life is worth living. It's exciting. It's an adventure. We're loved. God has a plan for us. And Unbound helps us to really be able to see that life is so much more than just this world and God's big plan. And you how exciting
and I,
is that?
And you and I have seen that. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we minister to people, when you see that light bulb go on, you see someone go from struggling their whole life with something, and all of a sudden they break into a new reality. It's just like, wow. And you know that's how they were meant to live. Mm-hmm. You know that's how they were always seen, but had been covered over, and it just gets unveiled for them. It's a joy to be a part of.
It is. And then to hear what they go and do with that, then to be able to share their testimony and their story. And they may think that they had nothing to offer, but just simply their testimony influences others and they get set free and they're able to share the love of the Father, that it doesn't ever just end with that one person who gets set free. Like the Lord is just using it and continuing it.
Yeah, if you're not under that influence of deception, think about how much different your motherhood could be, or the way you treat your spouse, or the way you bless other people. Even, you know, working with your employees or your boss, it changes everything around you.
It does. It does. Well, thanks so much for being here today, Matt. I love talking to you and hearing your perspective, and it's just such a joy. And thanks everyone out there for joining us. We look forward to having you with us next week. God bless you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.